This is ARN.
Decidedly Christian, distinctly biblical, and just a little bit nuts. This is Squirrel Chatter.
And welcome to the Piney Woods, ladies and gentlemen. I am your squirrel, the host, coming to you from the ARN studios, high atop the tallest tree in the Piney Woods. Good to have you with us. It is Monday, the 25th day of March, 2024. And this is Squirrel Chatter, a podcast dedicated to scripture, theology, history, current events, and whatever else I want to talk about. We are webcasting every Monday through Friday at 7:30 a.m. Mountain on X, Facebook, and Rumble. And then the audio podcast is available for download wherever you find fine podcasts. Squirrel Chatter is a proud member of the Christian Podcast Community. You can head on over to ChristianPodcastCommunity.com. Check out all the great curated podcasts that are over there. You are certain to find something worth listening to. I guarantee it. Well, how is everybody doing? Hope you had a great Palm Sunday yesterday at church. We did at Frenchtown Community Church. It was a good day of fellowship, and Pastor Scott brought a good message on Palm Sunday, stepping away from his study of 1 Corinthians. And so we are kicking off Holy Week. And first let me talk about the weather. A week ago today, after I completed the podcast, I drove into Missoula in my Miata to have the oil changed, tires rotated, and all that good stuff to get ready for the summer. And it was 78 and sunny, and I drove home with the top down. Yesterday, it snowed. It was very cold and blustery yesterday, and there was snow on the ground. Let me see what the weather says for today. It is currently 28 degrees, headed for a high of 50 with chance of rain. It actually looks about 3 o'clock this afternoon. We're supposed to have a chance of rain, but it's actually going to be a fairly decent day. It's supposed to rain tomorrow, be cloudy on Wednesday, rain on Thursday, cloudy Friday, Saturday is chance of rain, Sunday, high of 51, partly cloudy. At 8 o'clock, when our sunrise service at Frenchtown Pond is scheduled to begin, it is supposed to be 39 degrees on Sunday. Now, that's a week away. We know how the weather people are. That will change. But the vagaries of the weather. it snowed yesterday. It's 28 degrees right now. And a week ago, I was driving around in my Miata with the top down. So, you know, summer was short this year, but we all had fun that day. So that was that. All right, we are going to step away from the normal format of Squirrel Chatter this week because it is Holy Week, and so let me let you know what we're going to do. This week, we are going to have our regular scripture reading. We're going to keep up with that. We're going to keep up with reading the daily readings for the life of Christ from John MacArthur, but I also have received a devotional that was put together by the folks at First Baptist Church of Lyndale and by G3. It's available. It's free download on the G3 website, and I will have the link in the show notes. First Baptist Church Lyndale is Tom Buck's church. And so we are going to do scripture readings for Holy Week from the Gospel of Mark, and read these daily devotionals every day. Now, today we're going to do two, because I'm going to do the Palm Sunday readings and then the reading for today the Monday of Holy Week. And I'm also planning on doing a short Squirrel Chatter both on Saturday and on Sunday to complete this devotional reading. Those will be pre-recorded, at least Sundays will, because obviously I will be at church by 8 o'clock on Sunday morning doing the sunrise service. And I will be preaching the sunrise service at Frenchtown Pond, and then Pastor Scott will be doing the Easter service at Frenchtown Community Church at 10:30. And between the sunrise service at the pond and the Easter service at the church, we're going to have breakfast at the church. That's at 9 o'clock. So if you're in the area and you're looking for a place to worship on Easter Sunday, you are more than welcome to come to Frenchtown Community Church. We would love to have you. We're at the West Pavilion at Frenchtown Pond at 8 a.m. for the sunrise service, and then breakfast at the church at 9, and then regular service starts at 10:30 at the church. So that's our Easter schedule. No Good Friday service for Frenchtown this year. We're not doing anything. All of our weekly activities of youth group and Awanas and everything have been are postponed this week. There's nothing going on at the church other than choir practice on Thursday because we have to get ready for Sunday, whether we're taking the rest of the week off or not. So that's kind of where we're going to be this week. So we're going to have our scripture reading from the Legacy Standard Bible. We're going to have the prayers from the Book of Common Prayer. We're going to have a reading from John MacArthur's Daily Readings from the Life of Christ. And then we are doing this Holy Week devotional series this week. So no Monday meanderings, no study Bible level Bible study, no Theology Thursday, no Federalist Friday this week. That will all resume next week. Although next week, and this is something that's very important. Let me call up my calendar real quick so I can give you the exact date. I believe I'm gone Thursday and Friday of next week. And I'm looking, get the month up here. No, I will be here next week. I will be here next week. every day. It's the week after. I'm going to be gone Thursday and Friday. So we will have Squirrel Chatter on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, and I will be gone Thursday and Friday, and then back on the following Monday, which is the 15th, which is tax day. so joy there. In fact, Mrs. Squirrel and I are planning on doing our taxes tomorrow. Get a little bit of coffee going here. Just also coming up, I am not going to be here Tuesday, April 23rd. That is the high school quiz bowl. And I am once again one of the question readers at the high school quiz bowl. So that's on the 23rd. I've got to be in Missoula early in the morning to read questions for the kids. Then in May, there will be no Squirrel Chatter from the 8th to the 15th of May. I will be out of town. I've got some stuff going on. So that's going to be that. As far as I know, that's all I've got coming up. But I warned you last week, I think, that, I had some travel coming up and I was going to be away. Those are the coming weeks. And then, of course, first week of June, I'm at high school week up at Camp Upmost. So that's the 10th through the 14th. There will be no Squirrel Chatter those days either. It's just that time of year, folks. Just wanted to give you a heads up of what's going on here in the next few days and weeks as we roll through. But this week is Holy Week. We're going to be doing the Holy Week devotional or Passion Week, however you want to, however you phrase it. We're going to be doing that instead of our regular slate of, is it Theology Thursday or Bible study, Bible level, Bible study, all of that. All right. Let us begin, as is our practice, with the prayer of confession from the 2019 Book of Common Prayer. Almighty and most merciful Father, we have erred and strayed from your ways like lost sheep. We have followed too much the devices and desires of our own hearts. We have offended against your holy laws. We have left undone those things which we ought to have done, and we have done those things which we ought not to have done. And apart from your grace, there is no health in us. O Lord, have mercy upon us. Spare all those who confess their faults. Restore all those who are penitent, according to your promises declared to all people in Christ Jesus our Lord. And grant, O most merciful Father, for his sake, that we may now live a godly, righteous, and sober life, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Grant to your faithful people, merciful Lord, pardon and peace, that we may be cleansed from all our sins and serve you with a quiet mind, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Now, prayer for the reading of the Word. Blessed Lord, who caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning, grant us so to hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that by patience and the comfort of your holy word, we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life, which you have given us in our Savior Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. Our scripture readings today are Exodus 13 and Psalm 63. Exodus chapter 13. Then Yahweh spoke to Moses, saying, "Sanctify to me every firstborn, the first offspring of every womb among the sons of Israel, both of man and beast. It belongs to me." And Moses said to the people, "Remember this day in which you went out from Egypt, from the house of slavery, for by a strong hand Yahweh brought you out of this place, and nothing leavened should be eaten. This day, in the month of Abib, you are going out, and it shall be when Yahweh brings you to the land of the Canaanite, the Hittite, the Amorite, the Hivite, and the Jebusite, which he swore to your fathers to give you, a land flowing with milk and honey, that you shall do this service in this month. For 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread, and on the seventh day there shall be a feast to Yahweh. Unleavened bread shall be eaten throughout the day, out the 7 days, and nothing leavened shall be seen among you, nor shall any leaven be seen among you in all your borders. And you shall tell your sons on that day, saying, 'It is because of what Yahweh did for me when I came out of Egypt.' And it will be as a sign to you on your hand and as a memorial between your eyes, that the law of Yahweh may be in your mouth. For with a strong hand Yahweh brought you out of Egypt. Therefore, you shall keep this statute and at its appointed time from year to year. And it will be when Yahweh brings you to the land of the Canaanite, as he swore to you and to your fathers, and gives it to you, and you shall devote to Yahweh the firstborn of every womb, and the first offspring of every beast that you own. The males belong to Yahweh. But every firstborn offspring of a donkey you shall redeem with a lamb. But if you do not redeem it, then you shall break its neck. And every firstborn of man among your sons you shall redeem. And it will be when your son asks you in time to come, saying, 'What is this?' Then you shall say to him, 'With a strong hand Yahweh brought us out of Egypt, from the house of slavery. And it happened, when Pharaoh hardened his heart with stiffness about letting us go, that Yahweh killed every firstborn in the land of Egypt, both the firstborn of man and the firstborn of beast. Therefore I sacrifice to Yahweh the males, the first offspring of every womb. But every firstborn of my sons I redeem.' So it will be a sign on your hand and as phylacteries between your eyes, for with a strong hand Yahweh brought us out of Egypt." Now it happened that when Pharaoh had let the people go, God did not guide them by the way of the land of the Philistines, even though it was near. For God said, lest the people change their minds when they see war and return to Egypt. Hence God turned the people to the way of the wilderness, to the Red Sea. And the sons of Israel went up in battle array from the land of Egypt. And Moses took the bones of Joseph with him, for he had made the sons of Israel solemnly swear, saying, God will surely take care of you, and you shall bring up my bones from here with you. Then they set out from Succoth and camped at Etham on the edge of the wilderness. And Yahweh was going before them in a pillar of cloud by day to guide them on the way, and a pillar of fire by night to give them light, that they might go by day and by night. He did not take away the pillar of cloud by day, nor the pillar of fire by night from before the people. Now Psalm 63. Psalm 63, a psalm of David, when he was in the wilderness of Judah. O God, you are my God, I shall seek you earnestly. My soul thirsts for you, my flesh yearns for you, in a dry and weary land without water. Thus I have beheld you in the sanctuary, to see your power and your glory. Because your loving kindness is better than life, my lips will laud you. Thus I will bless you as long as I live. I will lift up my hands in your name. My soul is satisfied as with fatness and richness, and my mouth offers praises with the lips of joyful songs. When I remember you on my bed, I meditate on you in the night watches. For you have been my help, and in the shadow of your wings I sing for joy. My soul clings to you, your right hand upholds me. But those who seek my life to destroy it will go into the depths of the earth. They will be delivered over to the power of the sword. They will be a portion for foxes. But the king will be glad in God. Everyone who swears by him will boast, for the mouths of those who speak lies will be closed. This is the word of the Lord. And now our reading from Daily Readings from the Life of Christ by John MacArthur. Today's devotional is entitled The Convincing Nature of Jesus' Healing Ministry. The Convincing Nature of Jesus' Healing Ministry. This was to fulfill what was spoken through Isaiah the prophet. He himself took our infirmities and carried away our diseases. Matthew 8:17. Dr. MacArthur writes, Jesus Christ died for the sins of all who trust him, yet believers still sin. By his resurrection he conquered death, yet Christians still die. He overcame suffering and illness, yet believers still have pain and disease. Jesus' main purpose in the atonement was to conquer sin and death, not just to conquer physical suffering. That the latter fulfillment is still in the future. See Romans 8:22-25 and Romans 13:11. It is hard to argue that Jesus' healing ministry and crucifixion now mean that Christians should no longer expect illness. If that argument is true, then we should expect not to die, but that's false. Again, the gospel is all about forgiveness from sin, not deliverance from disease. See 1 Peter 2:24. In view of the convincing nature of Jesus' healing ministry, it's hard to understand why anyone who heard or saw any of these miracles would not receive him. It is especially hard to fathom that God's own people, with all their special blessings, the law, the prophets, the covenant, would mostly reject the Son of their God. But from the outset of Christ's incarnation, John speaks of this rejection. Those who were his own did not receive him. John 1:11. Any denial of Jesus flies in the face of the facts, whether such unbelief was by people in Jesus' day or by skeptics today. As his healing ministries progressed, the proofs of his divinity, power, mercy, and goodness became obvious beyond contradiction. They all demand a saving faith in the one true Savior, and Lord. Ask yourself, how do you think you would have responded to the ministry of Christ had you been there to witness it firsthand? Are the reasons for doubting him today any different than they were then? All right. Well, before we get into our devotional reading, I want to say a couple of words about cancer in the British royal family. It was announced back in February that King Charles was diagnosed with cancer. We don't know what type, but it was discovered during a treatment for an enlarged prostate, but it doesn't appear to be prostate cancer. But it was discovered at that time, but we don't know for sure because the palace isn't releasing any of those details. But King Charles has not made a public appearance since that diagnosis in February. Also, the Princess of Wales, Catherine Middleton, she announced last week that she is being treated for cancer. She is undergoing chemotherapy. She had some sort of abdominal surgery, again, unspecified, a couple of months ago, and they said that she would not be making any public appearances until after Easter. Easter is, of course, this coming Sunday. But she released a video last week informing the British people that she is being treated for cancer. And so she is going to be undergoing chemotherapy and will remain out of the public eye for a while. So we just want to remember, I make no secret of the fact that I am an Anglophile and I am, to a great degree, a monarchist. I'm a supporter of the monarchy. After all, Jesus is king. I am the ultimate monarchist in that he will rule and reign from the throne of David in Jerusalem for 1,000 years. I believe that with all my heart. And so, but I have a great affinity for the United Kingdom and for the royal family of Great Britain. And I absolutely adored Queen Elizabeth II. She was fabulous. By all accounts, a godly woman, a sister in Christ. Her marriage with Prince Philip was marvelous to behold. One of my favorite pictures is circulating again. I saw it on social media this weekend, and it's apparently Prince Philip was quite the cut up, and so he arrayed himself in the uniform of a Queen's Guard, which is the big, tall, furry black hat and the red coat and all of that. The guards at Buckingham Palace that you see. And he positioned himself in a passageway in the palace where the Queen was going to be walking by. And when she noticed who it was, she burst out laughing, and somebody caught this picture of him standing there all at attention with a slight smirk on his face, and she is just busting a gut. And that tells you a lot about their marriage. And I think we were all saddened when the Queen passed, even though she had a very good and long life and was an excellent queen. I have been praying regularly for Charles, first for his salvation, and for his reign, and now for his health. And we're adding Catherine, the Princess of Wales, to those prayers regarding health. So before we continue this morning, I want to offer a prayer for the royal family. And this is adapted from the Book of Common Prayer. Almighty God, the fountain of all goodness, we humbly ask you to bless Charles, King of England, Catherine, the Princess of Wales, as they are undergoing cancer treatment. And bless all the royal family. Comfort them. Bring them to repentance and salvation. Endue them with your Holy Spirit. Enrich them with your heavenly grace. Prosper them with all happiness and bring them to your everlasting kingdom through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. All right, as I said, First Baptist Church of Lyndale and G3 have jointly published a Holy Week devotional. The link is in the show notes, so you can find that after you have to go to the audio podcast. That's where the show notes are. They're not on Twitter or Facebook or X or Facebook or Rumble. The show notes are at the audio podcast. So if you can go to the Podbean. I don't normally do it, but I will post the link to today's episode in Facebook and on X, so that if you are one of the video watchers, which is most of you, you can go to the audio podcast page and look at the show notes. The link to the PDF will be there, so you can download this devotional. So today we are going to do the Palm Sunday reading, which was yesterday, and then the Monday of Holy Week reading, which is today. The scripture readings are from Mark, the Gospel of Mark, and I am reading from the Legacy Standard Bible, and then I will be reading the accompanying devotional at the end of the scripture reading. So our scripture reading for Palm Sunday was Mark 11, verses 1 through 25. And as they approached Jerusalem at Bethphage and Bethany near the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples and said to them, "Go into the village opposite you, and immediately as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, on which no one yet has ever sat. Untie it and bring it here. And if anyone says to you, 'Why are you doing this?' you shall say, 'The Lord has need of it.' And immediately he will send it back here." And they went away and found a colt tied at the door, outside in the street, and they untied it. And some of the bystanders were saying to them, "What are you doing, untying the colt?" And they spoke to them just as Jesus had told them, and they gave them permission. And they brought the colt to Jesus and put their garments on it, and he sat on it. And many spread their garments on the road, and others spread leafy branches, having cut them from the fields. And those who went in front and those who were following were shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest." And Jesus entered Jerusalem and came into the temple. And after looking around at everything, he left for Bethany with the 12, since it was already late. And on the next day, when they had left Bethany, he became hungry. And seeing at a distance a fig tree that had leaves, he went to see if perhaps he could find anything on it. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for it was not the season for figs. And he answered and said to it, "May no one ever eat fruit from you again." And his disciples were listening. Then they came to Jerusalem, and he entered the temple and began to drive out those who were buying and selling in the temple, and overturning the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who were selling doves. And he was not permitting anyone to carry merchandise through the temple. And he began to teach and say to them, "Is it not written, 'My house shall be called a house of prayer for all the nations?' But you have made it a robber's den." And the chief priests and the scribes heard this and began seeking how to destroy him, for they were afraid of him, for the whole crowd was astonished at his teaching. And when evening came, they were going out of the city. And as they were passing by in the morning, they saw the fig tree withered from the roots. And being reminded, Peter said to him, "Look, Rabbi, the fig tree which you cursed has withered. And Jesus answered and said to them, Have faith in God. Truly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, Be taken up and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says is going to happen, it will be granted to him. For this reason I say to you, all things for which you pray and ask, believe that you have received them, and they will be granted to you. And whenever you stand praying, forgive, if you have anything against anyone, so that your Father who is in heaven will also forgive you your transgressions. Now the devotional, which is written by Mitch Mayfield, he writes, The Gospel of Mark highlights many of the miracles Jesus performed in service to the people around him. Jesus healed the paralyzed man, Mark 2:1-13, calmed the storm before his terrified disciples, Mark 4:35-41, raised Jairus' daughter from the dead, Mark 5:21-43, and restored the sight of blind Bartimaeus, Mark 10:46-52. Jesus stated this was his purpose before his entrance into Jerusalem. The Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, Mark 10:45. In each of these events, faith has been a key element. Jesus saw the faith of the friends of the paralyzed man. Jesus asked his frightened disciples, Do you still have no faith? Mark 4:40. Jesus encouraged Jairus, Do not be afraid, only believe, Mark 5:36. After Bartimaeus cries out for mercy from Jesus, Jesus says, Go, your faith has saved you, Mark 10:52. Jesus desires for people to have faith that he is going to accomplish his greatest act of service to them, to give his life as a ransom for many, Mark 10:45. And Christ did not just come as any servant, but as a servant who is also a king. Jesus is a powerful king who is worthy of worship and calls for his people to put faith in him alone. He is the king long waited for by Israel. Even Bartimaeus recognized Jesus' kingship when he cried out, Son of David, have mercy on me, Mark 10:48. Jesus is a king who is obedient to God's word concerning himself. As Zechariah proclaimed to Israel, Behold, your king is coming to you. He is righteous and endowed with salvation, lowly and mounted on a donkey, even on a colt. Zechariah 9:9. During this triumphal entry, we see the obedience of the disciples and the praise the people are giving to Jesus, and for many praising his name, shouting, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. It may have been confusing seeing Jesus go up to the temple, look around at everything, and then leave Jerusalem, Mark 11:9-10. What is this king going to do? King Jesus ascended back to the temple the next day and was greatly angered at what was taking place. Jesus showed his anger by driving out those who were buying and selling, overturning money changer tables, and teaching the people concerning the temple. Quoting from Isaiah and Jeremiah, Jesus declared the temple to be his house, a house for prayer and not for selfish gain and false worship. In his teaching on the temple, Jesus declared himself king, not only of the Jews, but also of all nations. The general crowd was astonished at his teachings, but the chief priests and the scribes were afraid of Jesus and wanted to destroy him. The day before, there was praise and obedience, but today there is rejection and unbelief. Surrounding these two trips up to the temple, there is an interaction between our Lord and a fig tree. What does the cursing of the fig tree and the teaching concerning it have to do with the triumphal entry and the cleansing of the temple? The state of Israel is the same as the temple and the fig tree. For the fig tree, there was an abundance of leaves, giving off the appearance of fruitfulness, but no fruit was present. For the temple, an abundance of people attending and making sacrifices, but no real worship. Israel was faithless and fruitless. Before Christ, our condition was just like that of the nation of Israel. Our failure to bear obedient fruit and lack of faith in our good King has caused us to be cursed, just like the fig tree. Our sins must be removed, and we must be made clean. But instead of ascending to the temple, Christ will ascend to the Mount of Calvary, where he will die, making payment for our sins with his blood. We do not, however, worship a defeated king, but God has shown grace to us in Christ by raising him from the dead and seating him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion. Ephesians 1, 20 through 21. Jesus is our conquering King, who has come to cleanse his people of all sin and unrighteousness. We are no longer like a fruitless fig tree, but now we abide in Christ, the true vine. May we continue to put our faith in King Jesus and bear fruit in accordance with his grace and power towards us. So that was the reading for Palm Sunday. And now the scripture and reading for Monday of Holy Week. The scripture is Mark 11:27 through 12:12. Then they came again to Jerusalem. And as he was walking to the temple, the chief priests and the scribes and the elders came to him and began saying to him, "By what authority are you doing these things? Or who gave you this authority to do these things?" And Jesus said to them, "I will ask you one question, and you answer me, and then I will tell you by what authority I do these things. Was the baptism of John from heaven or from men? Answer me." And they began reasoning among themselves, saying, "If we say from heaven, he will say, 'Then why did you not believe him?' But if we say from men, they were afraid of the crowd, for everyone was regarding John to have been a real prophet." And answering Jesus, they said, "We do not know." And Jesus said to them, "Neither will I tell you by what authority I do these things." And he began to speak to them in parables. A man planted a vineyard and put a wall around it and dug a vat under the wine press and built a tower and rented it out to vine growers and went on a journey. And at the harvest time, he sent a slave to the vine growers in order to receive some of the fruit of the vineyard from the vine growers. And they took him and beat him and sent him away empty-handed. And again he sent them another slave, and they wounded him in the head and treated him shamefully. And he sent another, and that one they killed, and so with many others, beating some and killing others. He had one more, a beloved son. He sent him last of all to them, saying, "They will respect my son." But those vine growers said to one another, "This is the heir. Come, let us kill him, and the inheritance will be ours." And they took him and killed him and threw him out of the vineyard. What will the owner of the vineyard do? He will come and destroy the vine growers and will give the vineyard to others. Have you not even read this scripture? "The stone which the builders rejected, this has become the chief cornerstone. This came about from the Lord, and it is marvelous in our eyes." And they were seeking to seize him, and yet they feared the crowd, for they understood that he spoke the parable against them, and so they left him and went away. So today's devotional reading is by Scott Childs. He writes, "Growing up, I learned a lot from watching my older brother. Sometimes it was learning what the right thing to do was, but most of the time it was learning from his mistakes. Probably this sounds very familiar to you, and you have learned things the same way. Our passage in Mark is a warning passage and climaxes in Mark 12:9. In essence, don't be like the religious leaders in rejecting Jesus, for they will be rejected by God and be destroyed. But there is hope in our passage from Jesus' parable of the vineyard, which is given to others. Jesus points out that this is in fulfillment of Psalm 118. This is the Lord's doing. We are the others in the parable if we have put our faith in Jesus. Our passage starts innocently enough with Jesus walking into the temple. The religious leaders come up to him and ask a very important question. who has given you the authority to do the things you have done? Their question is in reply to what had happened the day before when Jesus came into the temple and drove out the moneylenders and those selling pigeons, declaring that they have made God's house a den of thieves. They are seeking a reason to arrest him. Jesus replied in a way that they would be familiar with. It is a way that a rabbi or teacher would reply. Answer my question, and I will answer yours. Jesus' question exposed the hearts of the religious leaders. Was the baptism of John from heaven or from man? John's baptism was a baptism of repentance and preparing for God's kingdom, Matthew 3:2. Their reply of "we do not know" demonstrates their rejection of John the Baptist coming from God. So Jesus refused to answer directly about who gave him his authority, but instead answered them with a parable. The parable of the vineyard is the story of Israel and their continued rejection of the prophets of God and, finally, the Son of God. What is shocking in the story is the progression of how the tenants reject and treat the owner's servants and the tenants' distorted conclusion that if they kill the owner's son, they will inherit the vineyard. When Jesus asked, "What will the owner of the vineyard do?" I wonder if the chief priests, scribes, and elders felt anything. Jesus then pronounces judgment on those who will reject him as the Messiah. This judgment is of destruction. The owner will come and destroy the tenants. But Jesus' parable gives us hope. This vineyard that is taken from the tenants is given to others. Then Jesus explained what he meant by quoting Psalm 118, 22 through 23. This same son who has been rejected became the cornerstone. This was God's plan, and it is marvelous or wonderful in our eyes. The next verse in Psalm 118 helps us define how we should react. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. We should rejoice that God's plan includes those who have accepted the stone that the builders rejected and have made him their cornerstone. All right, let us now recite our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Now I'm going to read the Collect for Palm Sunday. Almighty and everlasting God, in your tender love for us, you sent your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, to take upon himself our nature and to suffer death upon the cross, giving us the example of his great humility. Mercifully grant that we may walk in the way of his suffering and come to share in his resurrection. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. And the Collect for Monday of Holy Week. Almighty God, whose most dear Son went not up to joy, but first suffered pain, and entered not into glory before he was crucified, mercifully grant that we, walking in the way of the cross, may find it none other than the way of life and peace, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. The Collect for the Renewal of Life. O God, the King Eternal, whose light divides the day from the night and turns the shadow of death into the morning, drive far from us all wrong desires. Incline our hearts to keep your law and guide our feet into the way of peace, that having done your will with cheerfulness during the day, we may, when night comes, rejoice to give you thanks. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And for the unrepentant we pray. Merciful God, you desire not the death of sinners, but rather that they should turn to you and live. and through your only Son you revealed yourself as the God who pardons iniquity. Have mercy on the unrepentant and those who do not believe. Awaken in them by your word and Holy Spirit a deep sense of their sinfulness and peril. Take from them all ignorance, hardness of heart, and contempt of your word. Grant them to know and feel that there is no other name under heaven given among men by which they must be saved, but only the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so bring them home and number them among your children, that they may be yours forever, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, world without end. Amen. All right, folks, that is Squirrel Chatter for this Monday. I bid you the best of days as you start this week, preparing your hearts to celebrate the resurrection come Easter Sunday. Meditate on these things today. You know, do not ever let them be far from your mind. This is an important week. As I said, this is the Christian holiday, is the celebration of the resurrection. The world makes much of Christmas, and celebrating the incarnation is certainly worthy, but it's the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ that purchased salvation for all who believe. So if you have not done so, repent and believe the gospel and place your trust in Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. There is no other way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. There is no other Savior. If you die apart from Christ, you die in your sin and you face an eternity of damnation. But if you put your faith in Jesus Christ, if you repent of your sins, you will be cleansed, you will be made righteous, and you will spend eternity with Him in heaven. So repent and believe the gospel. As you go through the day, do the things you ought to do. Don't do the things you ought not do. Whatever you do, do it for the glory of the Lord. See you again here tomorrow for another episode of Squirrel Chatter. Take care. God bless.
Squirrel Chatter is recorded in front of a live studio hamster.